Creator God, we cannot hear the trees growing, seeds pushing up through the dirt into the sun, and we cannot hear a single drop of rain, missing one in the many. We cannot hear the weight of people's grief, a burden that so often is silent. And we cannot hear when hearts are changed. But you can. You hear it all. So once again, we come to you with bowed heads and hopeful hearts, asking that you would lend us your ears. Help us to hear as you hear, so that we can live as you lived. We are listening. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning is from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Christ Himself suffered on account of sins, once for all, the righteous one on behalf of the unrighteous. He did this in order to bring you into the presence of God. Christ was put to death as a human, but made alive by the Spirit. And it was by the Spirit that He went to preach to the spirits in prison. In the past, these spirits were disobedient when God patiently waited during the time of Noah. Noah built an ark in which a few, that is, 8, lives were rescued through water. Baptism is like that. It saves you now, not because it removes dirt from your body, but because it is the mark of a good conscience toward God. Your salvation comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at God's right side. Now that He has gone into heaven, He rules over all angels, authorities, and powers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel is from Mark, 1st chapter, 9th verse. About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized Him in the Jordan River. While He was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open and the Spirit, like a dove, coming down on Him. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are My Son, whom I dearly love. In You I find happiness." At once, the Spirit forced Jesus out into the wilderness. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among the wild animals, and the angels took care of Him. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, this is the first Sunday of Lent. A season of 40 days of preparation preceding Easter. Lent is not the time of bad news that precedes the good news of Easter. Lent is a time of grace when the people of Christ reflect on their mortality and sin, as well as on the creative and the recreative power of God by which women and men are saved. Important events associated with God's activity as Savior are recalled and rehearsed on this and the rest of the Sundays in Lent. Now let's talk about the gospel lesson for the day. Now, in my former life, I was in the human resources department at the power company. I was at a generating station, so we needed engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, either one. And while I am not one, I recognize an engineer. And let me assure you, Mark, the gospel writer, was an engineer. He comes right to the point, and he says it quickly and briefly, without a lot of detail. It's just the facts, ma'am. Mark, with almost shocking brevity, relates three major events. First, Jesus' baptism. Second, Jesus' temptation in the desert. And three, the first preaching by Jesus of the good news in Galilee. This sequence of events is significant, not simply because it seems the natural order of things, because in a new Exodus, Jesus recaptures and restates the journey of Israel. Baptism, when they cross the Red Sea, struggles in the desert for 40 years, and then their expression of the good news when they entered the promised land. So, since we are in the first week of Lent, let's focus on Jesus' temptation in the desert. And I want you to notice how aware of the reader the narrative is. In an account in which only Satan, wild animals, and angels are with Jesus, the reader is also present. This is no historical reporting with all the proper distance of objectivity. No, the reader is drawn in to hear, to see, and to experience. Such is the way of Scripture to make its message present to the one who is the reader. Other examples are these. You know, the reader is on Mount Moriah when only Abraham and Isaac are talking. The reader is on the Mount of Transfiguration, like we saw last week, where only Jesus, Peter, James, and John experienced God. The reader is with Jesus in Gethsemane while the apostles sleep, and then in Pilate's chambers as he and Jesus talked privately. The reader is close enough to the cross to overhear Jesus speak to his mother and the beloved disciple. Questions of historical accuracy may be raised, but not here, not now, not the way Mark tells it. He says, immediately after receiving the Spirit at baptism, Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the desert. Clearly, God is at work here, but so is the adversary, Satan. 40 days, the struggle continues. Jesus is in the company of wild animals and angels who were waiting on him. It's unclear, but very likely the wild animals and the angels represent the two forces battling within Jesus. Whatever the ancient echoes, it is clear that Jesus is not on a pensive evening stroll in the desert. He is being tested intensely. Mark does not elaborate on the temptation. So, what is happening? Obviously, Jesus was really being tempted. And there is no need to protect Jesus by saying that He only seemed to be tempted in order to provide us an example. Anyone who pretends an experience in order to set an example is not really setting an example. The book of Hebrews says, We have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet he is without sin. One should not rob the wilderness event of its reality on the assumption that temptation is weakness. We are not tempted to do what we cannot do, but what we can. The testing is one of strength. The stronger one is, the more capable, the greater one is, the greater the temptation. And if the temptation is real, it is most certainly deceptive. Temptation is not obvious. Definitely not an exaggeration such as, "Hi, I'm Satan. I'm here to tempt you." The tempter often looks and sounds like a friend or a relative. "Get behind me, Satan," was not Jesus' word to the local demon, but to his friend, Simon Peter. At the heart of the deception are offers not to fall, but to rise. The tempter in Eden did not ask, "Do you wish to be the devil?" but rather said, "Do you wish to be God?" In Jesus' mind, the voice says, "If you are really the Son of God, there's nothing here of the wickedness often associated with temptation." No self-respecting Satan would approach a person who offers of personal, social, and professional ruin. But that is in the small print at the bottom of temptation. Jesus struggles, apparently with the burden that lies within the words, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In the other gospel accounts relating to this account, Jesus is tempted in three ways. First, Jesus had fasted and was hungry. This is indicative of the physical temptations that come our way today. Second, Jesus was tempted to do something spectacular, which would prove to people that He was the Son of God, something that would get Him great applause. I know we are tempted to do these things for which we are applauded. And third, Jesus was offered power and authority, but only if he would compromise his integrity and worship the evil one. Friends, we're put into these situations where we too sense that we can gain an advantage to have power and authority. And in some cases, we would only gain by bowing to the pressures that would compromise us. So then, our task is to empty ourselves of our own pride and follow Jesus. In a profound sense, the three temptations of Jesus are full of meaning for an individual, for a church, and for a nation. Maybe you will want to use this time of Lent as a retreat time. Not necessarily going away to a wilderness, but a time to reflect on these temptations of Jesus and how they are similar to what you and I have to face in our lives. I will pray that you will use this as part of your Lenten journey. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, as we begin this 40 days of reflection and prayer, we pray your mercy on us. As we recall those things which are not pleasing in your sight, we pray for forgiveness. We do give you praise for Jesus who suffered for us, and we thank you for his love. We pray this in his name. Amen.